Hey, what's up, homies? It's another episode of The Duke of the Right, and this is episode 10. Yay. So this is my 10th episode. I didn't think that I would even get this fucking far, to be honest. But I did. And so it's going to be a special type of episode today. You know, I'm gonna go through some current events that happened between yesterday and today. But the rest of the episode, we're gonna be talking about a topic that has been going around, you know, America for a while now. Technically, for 100 years, and it's socialism and the rise of socialism in America and why it's being glorified and why it's not being absolutely destroyed as a whole from the whole country. And we're going to talk about a group named the Dream Defenders, right? Sounds like such an innocent, nice name, right? Oh, the Dream Defenders. Not so innocent. Actually, the opposite. Pretty terrible, nasty, disgusting, racist group on the far, far left. But we'll save that for, probably about 20 minutes. So today is March, I don't even know what fucking day it is. I think today's the 6th, right? Yep, today's Friday, March 6th, 2020. This is my 10th episode. It's a pretty big deal in my head. Let's see. So the last few days, we'll start off with the stock market. The last few days, the stock market took some hits. The last 2 weeks, the market has been so crazy, so volatile. And I'll tell you what, if it wasn't for Trump's phenomenal economy, we would be in a fucking recession by now. Because the Dow dropping down 3,000, 4,000 points in a matter of a week and a half, that's a lot of points. That's a lot. That's a big, big drop. It wasn't all at once, you know, but because the economy is so strong, you got this phenomenal cushion from unemployment rate being historically low to consumer confidence. People have more money in their pocket. The housing market is booming. You know, a recession really is not in the cards with this economy. Now, if it was something like 08, we would be in a state of shock. You know, but the market, even though it's taking beatings every other day, you know, one day it drops 900 points, next day it's up 1,200. Day after that, down 900, next day 1,300, up. It's crazy. It's something that nobody's ever seen before. You know, but that's what happens when you have such a strong, resilient economy. And honestly, we could thank President Trump for that. So let's see, what else? Okay, so Weinstein's out of surgery, out of heart surgery, and he's going right to Rikers. I wonder what's going to happen. I mean, I don't wish death on anybody. And that whole fucking situation with him is very weird. No matter what, the guy's a fucking disgusting pervert. He's a fucking lowlife. Probably got bullied in school, probably never got any pussy in his whole life until he became this fucking, you know, this, what do you call it, director, producer. And then, you know, I guess to get back at all the girls that rejected him in high school. So now he, you know, uses it as like either you suck my dick or you don't get the job, you don't get the part, you know. So he's a pervert, he's a degenerate piece of shit. But nobody really addresses the fact that these women who do this, why did they not step up as soon as it happened? And if it's so damaging, why didn't you just say, get the fuck off me. Get the hell out of here. I don't want the fucking job. You know? So how come no women aren't being held accountable, at least a little bit? I'm not saying it's all their fault. And I already established that Weinstein is literally a piece of shit, a disgusting fucking perv that deserves to be in jail for a very long time. Why didn't the woman who got involved with him, why did they just put the part above it? Don't they have any kind of self-respect? I mean, it's a fucking movie part. Listen, if someone offered me $1 million, and the only way I could get that $1 million is to suck somebody's dick, I don't think I'm going to do it. I definitely am not going to do it. Period. And why didn't they say anything as soon as it happened? You know? Because all these women did, by not saying anything, basically just enabled him to do it to other women. And then they said, oh, well, you don't know how tough it is. No. If you're getting taken advantage of, you gotta fucking call the cops. But I'm probably gonna be called a sexist now, because I believe that if, you know, that they should have fucking stepped up and said something, or at least say, get the fuck away from me. I don't even want the fucking part. You know, but whatever. Can't win with these fucking people. Hollywood is the worst industry in the world. It's disgusting. Everybody knew about the casting couch for years and years and years, and countless people kept their mouths shut. You know why? Because that's just the way it is in Hollywood. We don't ask, we don't tell. So, and by the way, all those don't ask, don't tell people, they're all fucking hardcore leftist fucking pieces of shit. So, you know, these progressive, these liberals call Republicans and conservatives racist, sexist, misogynistic, all this shit. Meanwhile, they're the one, you know, the left, they're the ones that are having all these problems in Hollywood. Hollywood is not a Republican, it's not a conservative industry. It's about 90 to 95% left. And it's incredible how nobody talks about that. It's disgusting. They're all disgusting people. Because you got to remember, they're actors and actresses. They make a living off of being fake. They make a living off of pretending. Doesn't that, you know, put any... Doesn't that put anything into perspective? Like, whatever. I'm sick and tired of these fucking people. And it drives me crazy when people idolize celebrities. It's like, you know that they're lowlives. You know that they all knew about the casting couch. They all knew about Harvey Weinstein. God knows who else was doing it. But nobody said a word. Nobody said a word for decades about Harvey. And he was doing it since, what, the early 90s? Something like that? Maybe even earlier? I don't know. And now, 25 years later, 30 years later, somebody says something? Fuck out of here, man. They all protect each other because they're all demonic, evil people. They're soulless. They have no fucking spine. I hate them all. I hate them all. I'm not even going to bother talking about coronavirus, because it's just this hysteria over a fucking a virus that has such a low mortality rate compared to the flu. The flu kills tens of thousands of people a year. And the last thing I saw, 90,000 people in the world had a case and, what, 3,000 died? Yet, people are in a frenzy. I went to Costco last week and the lines were, I had things in my cart. The lines were so bad that I put everything back on the shelves and I left. There was no way that I was waiting on that line. and people's carts were full to the brim like there was going to be a fucking 10-foot snowstorm coming tomorrow. That's what it reminded me of. It reminded me of when people bug out because of a snowstorm coming and they go shopping. It's just a way to spend money. It's, you know, people need to be hysterical about something. People need something exciting in their lives because people are bored. Let's see. Liz Warren drops out. That's old news. That was about time, that angry librarian. Oh, Chuck. Chuck Schumer. Fuck Schumer. Threatened Gorsuch and Kavanaugh to his angry leftist pro-abortion, probably fat, ugly feminist woman that he was speaking to on the steps. And now they're going to censure him. He said that Gorsuch and Kavanaugh will pay the price. So, like, you know that the left, that these Democrats are militant. You know that they're the most intolerant people in America right now. They really are, by far. If you don't align with exactly their own beliefs, then they will make sure that your life is ruined. They'll threaten you. They'll go to your house like what they did to Tucker, which was repulsive. Whatever. It's crazy. Spike Lee. This is the last thing I'm going to talk about before we get to the main event, the main topic. So, Spike Lee, for those of you who are listening that aren't from New York City like me, Spike Lee is a movie producer, a black movie producer that made a living on making terrible movies. The only good one, the only two that I liked were The Summer of Sam and Do the Right Thing. Other than that, his movies are horrible. So this guy, Spike Lee, he hates white people. He absolutely hates white people. He thinks that his shit doesn't stink, right? So last week, he gets kicked out of Madison Square Garden. So he's been going to, like, what, every Knick game for the last 20 years, right, sitting courtside. And I didn't get the full story. I got it from Gavin McInnes' show. But he, for 20 years, he went through, you know, the same, I guess, the player's entrance or whatever the fuck it is. And one day, because of, you know, whatever the reason is, the security guard stopped him and said, listen, you gotta go through the general entrance. And he wasn't having it. And he said, I'm not going anywhere, blah, blah, blah. And he wouldn't leave. He was being really stubborn and just a real jerk off about it. And so now he's going on strike for the rest of the year. He's not going to any Knick games. Like it really makes a difference. So while he was in the news, apparently he called all black Trump supporters house slaves. I don't know if he said house niggas or house slaves, but so he called the black people that don't think like him, that think outside of what the Democratic Party tells them to think, he calls them house slaves. Think about that. You're discouraging your people, quote unquote, to not think for themselves and to think the way that the Democratic Party tells you to think, using scare tactics. Using name calling. Black Trump supporters are, first of all, it takes a lot of balls to be a black Trump supporter because they all know that they are subjected to violence, death threats, extreme name calling, defamation, whatever, you name it. Uncle Tom, house slave, coon, race traitor, to brand you like that and ruin your life because you don't you leave the Democratic plantation. So Spike Lee is doing a great, great disservice to black people in general. That's why, like I said, Kanye West, his main thing is not telling you who to vote for, but telling you to use your own head, to not just think the way that the Democratic Party tells you to think. Nobody should tell anybody how to think. You come up with your own hypothesis, your own opinions. Doesn't matter what color you are. And that's why the Democratic Party is the party of racism. Still, to this day, nothing changed since slavery. Nothing did. The only thing that changed was they are in a disguise. They're not straightforward about being racist. They're not straightforward about it. What they do is they lie. They gaslight. They point fingers at the Republican Party, saying that the Republicans are racist, to take the attention off of them. That is what they do. That's what socialists do. It's really insane. It's just absolutely insane. And I've said this time and time again on my show. Once the election comes up, people are going to be appalled. They're going to be shocked by how many black people actually end up voting for Trump. There are people that are saying he's going to get maybe 12 to 14% compared to the 9% he got in 16. And honestly, I believe that he's going to get more than that. And if he does, if he gets like 20%, that's a big deal. That's a very big deal. And the Democrats will be shitting in their pants. Trust me. They're not going to be happy. Because that goes against the whole rhetoric, the whole narrative. Because the whole narrative is that he's a racist. He's racist towards black people. So if 20, 30% of black people vote for him, there goes their main narrative against him. What do they have after that? And that's including the media. Because the media and the left, they're interchangeable. They're the same thing. The media is the biggest part of the Democratic Party. So once their narrative kind of diminishes, goes away, then what? What do they have? So clearly he's not the big racist that you thought he was, because 30% of the black population voted for him after the first term, right? What do you have? So now you can't play the race card on anybody. I mean, you can't really to begin with, because, I mean, the black community is doing pretty damn good under him for what he could do, you know, even though the Democrat Party and all the mayors, they stand in his way because they want to hold black people down. But with what he could do, he's helping them out as much as he can, more than any other president. I went through this again and I'm not doing it. But it's happening, people. It's going to be a great awakening, and I can't wait. All right, let's have a little chat. Let's talk a little bit about this Dream Defender group, which is probably going to take up the rest of the show, because I have a lot to say about these fucking people. Let me give you just a brief background on who they are. Okay, so if you guys are more curious, check it out for yourself. I always say, don't just take my word for it. Look things up on your own. Because it's very easy for people to just bullshit. I'm not going to bullshit you. Because this show that I record, this podcast, you know, even though I do have my opinions, I don't lie. I don't make things up. And whatever I get, if it's information, it's not only information I get from websites, but I verify it. And I make sure that it's right. Whether I get the information straight from the source, And if I can't get it straight from the source, I fact check myself. But this topic, this group is very easy to find because unfortunately they're popular. So here's a little background on who these people are. They are called the Dream Defenders, okay? And they are a pretty large group of young black men and women, mostly black, with the you know, they throw in one of those a white person in there that hates their own race. You know, those white liberal leftist progressives that literally hate their own people, hate their own race, and are so scared of black people that they kiss black people's asses to the point where, you know, they'll be racist against white people. You know, there's a few of them in there. Like, for instance, I hate to say it, but Rosenberg on what is it, Hot 97? Just my opinion. When I hear him talk, especially when I hear him talk about politics and Trump and shit, all he does is just kiss ass. He kisses black people's asses. Especially Ebro and whoever is the guest on there. So a guy like him, right? A fucking spineless person. And the reason why I call him spineless is because you lie and you pretend to really feel so passionately about white people oppressing black people and how the world is racist against black people. You don't truly feel that way, but you know that you're going to try, that you're going to at least maybe get on the good side of black people to butter them up. Meanwhile, a lot of black people will look at Rosenberg and see right through him because, you know, it's not that hard to see, you know. Anyway, I always get off topic. They're a group of mostly black young men and women. They are super socialist. They're a socialist organization that is endorsing Bernie Sanders, right? And their whole basic, well, their catchphrase is ordinary people can remake the world. Okay. That's fair. I like that. But their agenda behind it is to completely destroy what America is about. Completely turn it around, completely flip it upside down from our culture to our beliefs to religion. You name it, they hate it, and they want to change it. They want to implement their own terrible, destructive culture to America. And that includes pretty much getting rid of white people. That's what I gathered. That's what I gathered from reading about them, you know? So I'm not going to sit there and say that they put that in writing, okay? But from what I gathered, from what they said, they don't really like white people too much. So, one of the quotes on their website was from, you know, of course, they quoted a Black Panther Party chairman from Illinois, Fred Hampton. I didn't write down the whole quote because the whole quote was just a bunch of bullshit nonsense, you know. These Black Panther, these fake activists, you know, they try to sound smart. They say a lot of these big words, you know, to try to sound articulate, but they're so stupid, you know. But the one thing I got was fight capitalism with socialism. Like, that's going to work. We did that. You know, we did that. We did that in World War II. We did that in the Cold War. Cuba, Russia, the Nazis. Yes, the Nazis were socialist. Nazi stands for National Socialist Workers Party, I think. National Socialist Party of whatever you call it. So capitalism always wins, will always win, and there is really nothing you can do about it. And the reason for that is every single country that really went full-blown socialist have been utterly destroyed to the point where they have no other place to go but capitalism. Let's see. China. China is a great example because for fucking centuries, China was a, and it still really is a communist socialist country, right? A very, very poor, poor socialist slash communist country. But Singapore is a capitalist nation, and after China going through so many years of poverty and destruction and death and famine, China started to mimic Singapore a little bit, started implementing some capitalism into their economic system. And, well, to no one's surprise, that turned China into a pretty wealthy country. Now, they're still pretty communist. They oppress their people, but that's on the communist side, obviously. But their capitalism is the reason why their people did not all die off and why they are the number two economy in the world. And, you know, they have a very good chance of beating us. If it wasn't for Trump getting in office, we would be behind them already, guaranteed. Any economics expert would say that's 100% true. And that's not because of socialism. That's because of capitalism, period. Okay? So there's that. That's one example. Okay? Let's see. Now, here's one that resonates more with these Bernie bros. Denmark, Scandinavia. They like to say that these countries are socialist, democratic socialist nations, right? Even though Denmark has repeatedly, you know, stated that they are not a socialist country. They are a free market capitalist society. Now, also, so before Denmark really turned up the capitalism, they were very socialist in a lot of ways, and it ended up being a disaster. And what they did, like what any other socialist country does, they say enough is enough. It's time to go more capitalist, because capitalism is the economic system that brings more people out of poverty, has brought more people out of poverty than any other political system, any other economic system in world history. But Fred Hampton, Black Panther Party, aka the Black Supremacist Party, why they're still around is beyond me. I could maybe understand why they were around back in the 50s and the 60s, because you had the Democrat-run Jim Crow era, you know, and they had to defend themselves. I can't really argue with that. But now, you got more fucking freedom than white people. You get away with fucking more shit. You get into free college. Or you, at least you get into college much easier than white people do. You get away with being racist against white people without anybody even batting an eye. Including this fucking group. So this group, Dream Defenders, I'm going to call them Double D. Double D, they don't believe that America gives you true freedom. They believe that that's just a lie that has been spewed by the American culture and American education. But it's not true, because according to them, black people are still oppressed. They are still in these poverty and crime-struck neighborhoods. Once again, blaming everybody but themselves, okay? But why? Why not take responsibility for your own problems? You know? A lot of black people, they decide to exclude themselves from America, right? They have their people, my people, my people. So why don't you take care of it with amongst your own people instead of making America deal with it? We're not responsible for all your despairs that you create. That's nobody's responsibility but yours, since you want to exclude yourself from America. Another thing that they say on this website, on their about link, is that they're constantly referring to climate change. That climate change is an existential threat, that it's displacing millions of people, and America should be open to taking in climate change affected people around the world. That's like one of their bigger points. Climate change is a hoax. Nobody's getting displaced from climate change. The climate is not getting worse. The climate naturally goes through changes. It has since the creation of this earth. What happened in the Ice Age? Were there factories fucking, 10,000 years ago, whatever it was? No. And that was pretty bad. But that's just the way that... I can't believe that we have to actually go through this with people. That, like, they ignore the facts so often and so deliberately and consistently. It gives me a chill down my spine. And it's infuriating to read that they talk about climate change with that arrogance and with that attitude that, no, this isn't up for discussion. Climate change is real. People are dying, just like what Greta Thunberg said. The girl with autism that people are taking seriously. I'm sorry, but that's just the truth. She's a 16-year-old dumb girl. Where's her credentials? The girl reads off of a fucking teleprompter with a script. And you saw the video when she didn't have one. The girl couldn't even make out a word. It's all scripted, and she's exploited by her parents and by the media. Don't you guys get it? And what was she made? The person of the year? For what? That was the most absurd thing I've ever seen in my life. Climate change. The fact that this is even an issue is beyond me. So here's where it gets juicy. And this is where all my points about millennials and Bernie supporters being the most laziest group of people, the laziest demographic in America, probably ever in American history. Oh, absolutely. The laziest generation in American history, maybe world history, right? The most entitled fucking generation. And unfortunately, I'm a part of that. But the thing is, I'm the minority in the millennials. See, I know that it takes hard work to get anywhere. I know that nobody owes me shit. And if I do nothing but complain and want free shit, I'm never going to get anything. I'm never going to get anywhere in life. Nothing is owed to me. I have to earn things on my own. Because guess what? That's the way I was raised by my mom and my dad. My father taught me how to be a man. Taught me how to earn a living, taught me how to provide. He gave me that willingness in my body to create a beautiful family and provide for them, because nobody's going to give me that. Nobody's going to give me success. The only person that can is me. And that's why the black community has such a high rate of single parenthood, single motherhood, because the dads weren't there to teach their sons how to provide and how to be a man. And that's not an opinion. That's a fucking fact. And if you don't like it, too bad. Too fucking bad. So, this is the list of the Dream Defenders' reasons for endorsing Bernie Sanders, okay? Number one, free college. The number one on their list was free college. And here's a little nugget of information. Why do socialists love free college? Why do majority of socialist countries give away free college? Is it because they truly care about the education for young people? If you actually believe that, then you are very, very naive. And you got to wake up and realize the world isn't such a great place when it comes to that. People are scumbags and people are manipulative. And there's always an agenda, my friends. So, the reason why majority of socialist countries, aka Cuba, USSR, what other socialist countries there are? I don't know. A majority of at least once socialist countries, they're obsessed with free college because it is a place to indoctrinate. The best time, and you could ask any Marxist, communist, socialist, what is the best age? What is the best time to indoctrinate and manipulate and teach people your way? And they'll say, as young as possible. So, free college. Everybody knows that when you're a kid, when you're a teenager, when you're a young adult, you have a brain like a sponge, especially when you're a little kid. Now, if you don't come from a politically strong family like mine, where my father always talked about politics, was an outspoken conservative, you couldn't shake me. It's in my DNA to be a conservative American loving patriot. But most kids do not have that. Most kids do not have that structure in the family. And I'm not even saying that it's really a good thing to have politics always being talked about. It's really not, because politics is a dirty game and it's depressing in a lot of ways. And I'll admit, it gets me a little depressed sometimes too, because it consumes you and it really shows you how disgusting the world could be. But most kids don't have that in their family. So these kids, after graduating high school, they go to college, and all of a sudden, all they have is professors. They all have the same view. Naturally, young adults look up to their professors as role models and as smart people, well-educated, well-informed, and it's just a constant indoctrination. And this is why millennials are so liberal, partly because of the parents, but mainly because of the educational system. So think about if college was free. That's just another way for even more kids to go to school. And that means more young people to indoctrinate and to manipulate and to brainwash to be socialist, to be Marxist, to have a certain way of thinking. That's the whole reason for it. That's why these socialist dictators and these oppressive leaders all made sure that they had free education. So you could start them out young. 100% elimination of college debt and healthcare debt. I'm not going to elaborate on this one, but for the college debt, not everybody has to go to college. Okay? Here's the common mistake that millennials have, that if you don't go to college, you're not smart and you'll never go anywhere in life. That's a straight up fucking lie that is spewed by the liberal and the socialist media. So that's number one. Number two, I believe that colleges are way overpriced. There's no question about it. There's no question about it that colleges are ridiculously priced. They shouldn't be even in the ballpark of how much they are right now. But I don't believe they should be free. And even so, it's still not free because you'll be taxed 85%. Your taxes will go to that quote unquote free education. So what if we end up getting free education and student loan free? Well, free education. Let's start up with that. What if I don't want to go to college and I'm stuck paying for other people to get indoctrinated? People don't like to pay for other people's shit. Okay? Now, student loan debt, the cancellation, unfortunately, it's expensive now. It should not be, but it is. This is the way it goes. If you get a loan, you fucking pay it off. It sucks, but it just really, honestly, what it should do is give people a reason to not go to college if they don't want to be a doctor, a lawyer, or engineer. If you're going to go to a fucking $70,000 a year college for a liberal arts degree for journalism, you deserve to be paying fucking college loans for the rest of your fucking life because you're an idiot. And clearly you haven't learned anything in your whole life. Don't go to fucking college. If anything, go to community college if you want to be a journalist. If you want to study business. Business, if you want to be a business owner, if you want to be an entrepreneur, salesman, don't waste your time. Don't waste your money. Because college does not teach you how to run a business, own a business. College teaches you how to work for somebody. Unless you want to be a doctor, a lawyer, engineer. College does not teach you how to be independent either. You may think it does. Oh, I live at home. I'm living in my dorm. I don't have my parents doing my laundry and feeding me. Fuck that. It's not. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to do that. But it does not teach you how to be independent. Because you're still enclosed in that fucking mile-by-mile radius. The mile radius of the same fucking people every day. With the same Marxist professors that still cradle your balls. And healthcare debt? I'm sorry, but that's ridiculous. That's another thing. Healthcare is ridiculously expensive too. But it's way better than socialized healthcare because I'll take quality any day if I have to pay a few more dollars than having it free. And having terrible health care. Not an opinion, a fact. You look at any other country with socialized medicine, socialized health care. Not only will you be waiting on a waiting list to get any kind of procedure, but your health care is not even that good. Why do you think all the elitists in these other countries with socialized health care, if they got to get their fucking teeth done, anything major, where do they come? You think they stay in their own country and get their shit health care? Absolutely not. They come right to America because there's no other healthcare system in the world like ours. Yes, it's overpriced. Yes, it needs to be that needs to be changed. There's no doubt about that. Our healthcare system is very expensive and it shouldn't be that expensive. The insurance companies are the ones that have done that, have created that. Same thing with colleges, the banks have made colleges so expensive. So far, it's about free everything, right? So the last two or three things that are the first two or three things that are on the list are all about free. Medicare for All, there's another one. And I just went into this. Medicare for All would cost the American taxpayer, I believe they said $30 trillion in a matter of 10 years. I could be getting that number wrong. Fact check me, please. $30 trillion for mediocre healthcare over 10 years? I don't think so. Why would we want to turn into every other shit country? Canada, their healthcare is atrocious. The wait times are ridiculous. The doctors are not that good because they're not getting paid that much. A lot of doctors come here. Another thing about another free thing, another thing they feel entitled to have, because they think that healthcare is a right. No, healthcare is a privilege. Guaranteed job and housing for anyone who needs it. This is one of my favorite ones. So right off the bat, they want guaranteed housing and jobs provided by the government. So forget about the whole private ownership thing. That's out the window. They don't like private ownership. They think that it should be abolished. They think that the government should run anything, everything. The government should provide houses. Everybody should have a government job. So here's a little tidbit for you guys. Why do you think the hood looks like shit? Why do you think the projects are so disgusting? Because the people don't own it. There's a thing called ownership pride. When you own a home, when you pay money every month to a mortgage, when you save up money to buy a home, that's yours. You worked hard for that, and you're going to make sure that you take care of that because it's yours, and you bought that with your hard-earned money. When it comes to the projects, even rentals a lot of the times, they're not upkept because there's no ownership pride. They don't give a fuck. It's disposable to them. And the government owns it. Fuck them. Who cares? That's the mentality. And this is what these socialists want. They want everybody to be like that. I don't want to live in a country like that. I think that is one of the worst things. Owning something gives you character. When you get everything handed to you, it destroys character. It's getting monotonous now talking about this. So, moratorium of all deportations, reuniting families who are separated. So, here we go with the emotional card, right? Where they don't want any borders. They want open borders. They want anybody who wants to come here to come right in with no resistance and to just mooch off the American government, period. So, they want to take back all of the Mexicans and all the people that ICE deported, right? They want to bring them back to America after they weren't supposed to be here in the first place. Give them health care, give them housing, give them jobs. This is what they want. Now, if you look through history and common sense, socialists are not typically for open borders. Because if you have open borders, that means that you're going to have basically an unlimited amount of people coming into your country. And since the government pays for everybody, you think that they're going to be able to afford another 20 million fucking illegals? Or you think it's going to suck the country dry in a matter of years? Not even. But these people are so ignorant. They're so dumb. They're so brainless that they don't even think about that. They just use the emotional card, which is just the wrong thing to do. Dismantling ICE, welcoming refugees, those displaced by climate change also. So they want to get rid of the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency, the agency that protects us from threats out of, you know, from outside of America, right? That was created after 9/11 to protect us from another 9/11. They want to get rid of that. They literally want to get rid of thousands and thousands of jobs in the name of social justice. It's one of the most ridiculous proposals I've ever heard in my entire life. But side note, Dream Defenders, they are anti-cop in general. They don't want police in America, right? So that just shows you where they stand. So they want to dismantle ICE, get rid of ICE completely. Welcoming refugees, which we already do. You just have to do it legally. And those displaced by climate change, just what I brought up earlier, they had to throw that fake shit in there, right? Nobody's getting displaced by climate change. Nobody. So that was just something probably to make it look more full, this whole stupid list. Abolishing the death penalty cut prison population in half. Now, if you are into not killing child molesters and, murderers, I don't understand that. I don't love the death penalty, but I don't know. Rapists, child rapists, murderers, they don't really have much of a purpose on this earth. But I do understand where they're coming from. And cut prison population in half. Now, that's not a bad idea. Trump is doing that, though. Trump is in the process of really reshaping the prisons, prison reform. But here's the thing with them. They don't want to do it the way that Trump is doing it. They want three strike laws. So basically you would have to commit three crimes in order for you to really go away to jail. So three robberies and you go away. So if you haven't noticed, this is exclusively favoring black people because they know that black people commit 55% of the country's overall crime, violent crimes, right? So they know that instead of changing their own fucking culture, you want to change the system that fucking protects the rest of the country from violent fucking people. To make up 13% of the population and commit 55% of the violent crime in America. Not an opinion, not racist, a fucking fact. And the reason why I'm getting all pissed off is because they don't want to fucking address the situation in their own community about why they commit the majority of the crimes in America, but they want to basically give them three passes to do that. The fucking logic went out the window. Out the fucking window. Mandatory minimum sentences. Same shit. Prisoner's Bill of Rights. So child rapist gets a Bill of Rights. Fucking terrible. This, another stupid thing. Another way to protect exclusively black people, right? Cutting the military budget so we could be vulnerable to all threats. And believe me when I tell you, if, God forbid, this country becomes socialist, and they implement all this shit, including cutting military, we will be bombed in a matter of a year. We will be in a war, and we will lose that war because they don't like military. Because remember, they don't like any kind of enforcement agency because they look at them as enemies. No sanctions on Iran. And that is the reason why we would get into a war, because guess what? Iran, they're not rational fucking people. They have this fucking utopian look on the world. They don't like us, no matter what. By lifting sanctions on Iran, we'll just give them an opportunity to destroy us. That's how naive and ignorant they really are. Their whole demise is in this fucking list of what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, about what? 10, 15 things? 12 things? And one of the last things is withholding funding to Israel. Unless they change the treatment of Palestinians. The country that gets bombed from every fucking direction. By the Palestinians, by Muslims. They hate them because they're the real anti-Semitics of the world. And that's a fact. That's an absolute fact. That they are the most anti-Semitic people in the world. They're the ones, and I'm talking about black people, unfortunately. They're the ones that are committing all the anti-Semitic crimes in New York City. They're all young black men. The two black Israelites, the Hebrew Israelites, killed two Jewish people in Jersey City. So you wonder, maybe there is a trend of true anti-Semitism in not only the black community, but on the left. Because the secular Jews, you know, the Jews that hate Jews, like the Harvey Weinsteins of the world and, you know, all those other liberal leftist Jews, they don't like Jews either. So that's their list. Now, this is not my list that I created. This is a list that's on their website, verbatim. Okay? So, like I said earlier, go on their website and check it out for yourself. If I went too fast or if you want to look at it more, I think I covered a lot of the bases for what they're about. So clearly they're not the greatest group of people ever. And you almost feel bad for them, you know. In a way, you feel bad for how directionless and how lost they are. For them to really be so passionate about feeling entitled to all this shit that they just don't have a clue. They just don't have a clue on reality and the way that the world works. It comes down to how you're brought up and being lazy and really being a victim, playing the victim card. It's not a good way to live. It's a losing way. You'll always be a loser. My advice is, if you consistently play the victim card, you're never going to get anywhere. And I think that's pretty obvious, you know? Sometimes you just got to take life by the balls. If you're going through tough times, if you feel like you're hopeless, you know, you got to realize that nobody's going to change that but you. And once you do that, once you experience actually getting out of a funk, you know, from doing it yourself, or, you know, if you grow up poor and you work hard enough and you start earning money and learning the value of a dollar and, you know, experiencing ownership of something, it gives you a sense, it gives you a feeling that is unmatched, you know. But a lot of these people, unfortunately, and I'm not just talking about black people, I'm talking about a lot of these millennials and Gen Z and all these people that just feel entitled. They don't know what it's like to really earn a day's pay, to earn a living, and then to own things due to their own hard work. And it shows because of groups like this and all the Bernie bros. Because if you're a hard worker and you earn your money, it's impossible to support Bernie Sanders. It's truly impossible. The only way to support Bernie is if you have no direction, if you think that everything should be owed to you, and you basically go on like a work strike where you're not going to work until you start getting shit for free. And if that's what you're doing, then that day is never going to come. You're never going to be getting shit for free. Especially in America. So I took the liberty, and this will probably be the last segment of the day, of the socialism that's already in America. Because even though we're a capitalist society, we have a lot of socialism in the fabric of our nation. And you'll understand why I brought this up. So, number one is public housing, the projects, lower income. Look at the condition of those buildings. Look at the way that they're run. The point of this is government does not know how to run things. Go into a post office, not a good thing. So public housing, you know, affordable housing that's owned and ran by the government. Very, very poor living conditions. Nobody gives a fuck. I don't know if you guys have ever been to a project, ever been into, you know, public housing and shit like that. Don't lean on the walls. Do yourself that favor. And that's almost universal for just about every housing project in New York City. And that has to do with the people that live there and the people that run it. This goes along with it. Welfare. Millions of people abuse it. It creates lazy people. The hardworking middle class has the burden of paying for it. It's passed down generation to generation, which means, let's say one person has welfare, their children are going to get that welfare, their children's children, their children's children's children. It's just going to keep going down the line. And a very small percentage of people come off of welfare while they've been on it for so long. And the reason is people, simple-minded people, unfortunately, think that, why would I go to work? Why would I work when I get money for free? What the hell's the point of that? There's no shame. You know, and I'm not saying you should be shamed. I believe that welfare is a great thing when it's used properly. If you have a family and something happens, you get laid off, you lose your job, you have a family to feed, you have a house to maintain, you don't know what to do. That's where welfare kicks in, and it could be a really good thing. And honestly, if people made that full circle where they had a job, a career, they bought a house, you know, they know what it's like to feel liberated, to have ownership, and they have to go on welfare, you bet your ass they'll be off of it in a very short amount of time, because you're going from one extreme to the other, and it's a very different feeling. So once you get a taste on the tip of your fucking tongue of working hard, earning money, and then owning something because of that hard work, to transition to getting government assistance, to getting money and you know, not working and getting money, it's a very weird thing. So they'll be off of it very soon. But people that have been on it their whole lives, they're never going to get off of it. You know, all they're going to do is they're going to stay on welfare. They're going to sell drugs because there's no proof. There's no income. There's no proof of income. Everything's cash, you know. And they're going to make the living like that. And they're going to end up either dead or in jail or a junkie. And this is the way it is in these terrible neighborhoods. So nobody really comes off of it. I mean, not nobody, but most people don't. Public education. I talked about this earlier. Another socialist fucking program. And look at what I like to reference New York City, because it's the pinnacle of socialism. The public education system in New York City is horrific. I went to public school in New York City. It sucks. It's horrible. The shit that goes on there, the teachers, it's not even saying the teachers are bad. I shouldn't say that. The teachers work very hard with what they're given. But it's a fucking romper room. It's terrible. And the curriculum is even worse. So not only are these kids not safe in their own schools, they can't control the children. And the curriculums are prefixed. They're fixed to have a certain narrative, to, you know, to further the socialist narrative. I'm a witness of this. I'm not pulling this out of my asshole. We're very low. We should be number one on education in America, and we're not. And that's because of the public education system. You look at private schools, you look at their stats compared to public school. Not even a comparison. And finally, the VA. These poor veterans risk their life, get shot at, lose their friends, get disfigured, have PTSD for the rest of their fucking lives. It gets me upset. So like these poor guys and girls that put their lives on the line for us Americans, they come home, they have to deal with the VA. Between the medical, the waiting lines, a lot of them are homeless. A ton of them. Millions are homeless. How is that possible? They should be priority. But that's just another building, another corporation, or another administration that's run by the government. That sucks. Like I said, the post office as well. Anybody like the post office? It sucks. It sucks. The workers don't give a fuck. The places are destroyed. They're not good. Anything that... Here's the thing right here. Anything that government touches turns to shit. Government-owned anything sucks. Social Security, I'm probably not even going to be able to collect it when I'm older. It's going to be fully depleted. It's going to be gone. Okay? Unions. Not that I really have much against unions, but why do you think it takes fucking 15 years to fix a highway? Because the unions, they milk the jobs. They get paid. They charge these ridiculous fucking prices for these jobs because they can. Because they can. They go on strike every other fucking week. Granted, the job gets done, and usually pretty well, but not only does it take three times as long as it would have if it was a private company, but it costs 10 times more. Why is that? Socialism. So you want the whole fucking world to look like that? Or do you want there to be an option, union and private? I worked for a private contractor, a construction company. And, I mean, yeah, I didn't get paid that great of money. But it was there for me. And you know what? It was all right. It was all right. And listen, union jobs are great. Union construction jobs are fucking great. That's the one thing I could say. But for the country itself, they're not in a lot of ways. And in some ways they are. But if you a good way to really drain the city, drain the government of money, is through unions. So you see, the point of this episode is basically to say that socialism is never going to come to America. As Donald Trump said, President Trump, it is not for Americans. Americans, like I said earlier, have already had the taste on their fucking tongue of ownership and pride and working hard for something. If that gets taken away from us, we lose our character. Because working hard and getting rewarded for that hard work is priceless. And we as Americans cannot let them take that away from us. There's a reason why we're the best country in the world. There's a reason why we have the most values, the most morals. Because our country was created on free, on liberty, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And human nature is all about capitalism, supply and demand, creating a life for yourself and for your family, the way you want to do it, not the way the government tells you to do it. Because as we all know, the government sucks at everything. The only thing that they're good at, and sometimes they're not, is defending us from exterior threats. And even they fuck up sometimes. So the moral of the story is, we got to make sure as Americans, if you want to maintain your freedom, if you want to keep your freedom, if you want to keep the freedom to own your own business, potentially, to make your own money, to buy your own house, to own your own fucking property, to do what you want, to become successful, and not have the government breathing down your balls, make sure that socialism never comes here, and spread the word. Enlighten people, because there's a lot of lost souls out there, like these, what are they called, the Dream Defenders? Yeah, they're up in the clouds, their brain is, they're up, they don't even know what planet they're on, they just know they want free shit. It's not the way that the world works, and I guarantee if you give them a real taste of working hard for their money, and making a living, and feeling that that sense of pride and ownership, I guarantee you a lot of them will rethink what they've been indoctrinated to think and what they've been told to think by the left and by socialists like Bernie Sanders. And that's my gospel. I hope you guys enjoyed my 10th episode. Really take into consideration of what I've been saying. Just really think about it and do your own research. Like I always say, do your own research and really just analyze the comparison of socialism and capitalism. And one of the main things that I talk about is what it does to the human body, the human brain. Given free shit compared to earning shit, working hard to earn it, or not even free shit because you're still going to be paying taxes. So it's all a mind game. That's the 10th episode of The Duke of the Right. I hope you guys have a great weekend. I might have a little show for you over the weekend, maybe Saturday or Sunday. But regardless, I hope you guys enjoy the weekend. And Monday, we'll get right back into it. We're going to have some exciting new shit for you. And let's spread the word about capitalism and why America is the greatest country to ever exist on this planet. And we as Americans have to keep it that way. Have a great weekend.